You're listening to Fresh Hope for Mental Health. Well, welcome, my friend. We're so glad that you've joined us again for this edition of Fresh Hope for Mental Health. I'm Brad Hafes, your host. Our purpose here on Fresh Hope for Mental Health is to empower you to live a faith-filled, rich, and full life in spite of having a mental health diagnosis. Again, we're just really glad to have you. And we have with us once again, Jason Peterson with an EN on the Peterson. You can find him at jasonpeterson.com. And we're just so glad that you're with us this time also. Today, we're going to be addressing a very important topic, and that is how to find your sweet spot of passion, how to find emotional satisfaction in life. How do you get back up and get your life back and be excited about your life? Or how can you enjoy your life? How can you see to it that it's rich and full? And that's what we're going to talk about today. Jason, I'd like to talk with you just a little bit about passion versus mania and the differences that maybe you've experienced as I've gotten to know you. And just in conversing with you before we started recording, there's something that happens when we have a mental health crisis and we start taking medicine and we're dealing with this diagnosis, and suddenly you feel like you're not living. You feel blah. You feel, where did my zest for life go? You know, you and I probably both could tell stories. They would be very different stories, but they would have something in common where we walked into the room in a business meeting or some kind of meeting or even into a social setting, and we had such a zest for life that people were like, attracted to it, you know? And would you say that's true?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I totally agree.
So, and then you go through this crisis and you feel like, and people notice you're different. You feel blah, you feel numb. For me, I went through many, I hate to say it, and I don't want this to be discouraging to anyone listening to the podcast, but it took a long time. For me, it took years, unfortunately. And I wish I had somebody to tell me sooner. I wish that I would have heard somebody say to me what I'm about to say to you, and that is there comes a point where life is going to come back. You're going to feel that zest. It's going to be the appropriate kind, not mania, not hypomania, but it's going to be the kind of thing where your brokenness, your giftedness, your abilities, and all those things come together with all of a sudden God putting all that together, and you're at your sweet spot of life again, and you have passion. It ignites passion in you. For me, it happened when I finally started the support group, the first one for Fresh Hope, and I did those things, and suddenly I felt like my igniter light went back on. My pilot light was back on. I could see how all these things I'd been through, all my knowledge, all my abilities, all my giftedness from the Lord, kind of came together. And I sense that's what's going on for you.
Yes, indeed. I was going to say, you know, my take on passion versus mania and just how it's applied to me, I guess, is I would define mania where it's unhealthy. Mm-hmm. You know, where you're it goes beyond just being excited and having energy and pushing forward to where, like, you know, I joked, there was many times I could work for 48 hours straight. Mm-hmm. Probably not a good idea. I did it.
And you said 48 hours straight.
48 hours right? straight.
Mm-hmm. No sleep.
And that, for me, is a mania. That's
That's
full blood, you know, mania. So I think that there was behaviors where I definitely had passion when I was younger in my 20s. I started a business, had a lot of excitement, a lot of energy. It was very challenging at the same time because I was young, trying to deal with the mm-hmm. pressure and stress of owning a business and what goes with that. Mm-hmm. But I was, my undiagnosed illness at the time would probably take my passion into a realm where I was unhealthy many mm-hmm. times, and mm-hmm. I was not able to I guess, manage myself, or just, you know, probably affected relationships. I was just too intense. You know, I just, if I was an amplifier, you know, it'd been turned up too much. Once I was diagnosed, and in the whole journey that we've talked about already in terms of what I went through, I think I kind of became and have become more of the person I really am, where I don't need to be big and brash to necessarily, you know, get people's, you know, attention. Mm-hmm. Am I, you know, we talked about earlier, I'm an extrovert. Yep. But I'm not this, you know, trying to master the crowd kind of person anymore. Mm-hmm. That's not what I do, and that's okay. And so it's like God has kind of like helped me feel very comfortable with the way I'm built.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think as when this started to happen and I became comfortable with who I am and not trying to be something I'm not, that's to me when God has started to insert passion into me, mm-hmm. because he's mm-hmm. like, yep, you have mood disorders. Yep, mm-hmm. you're a dad, you're a husband. Mm-hmm. You know, you're a son, you know, you're a business owner, mm-hmm. you know, you've weathered a lot of stuff. You are turning to me, you're trusting me. And you mm-hmm. know what? Mm-hmm. This is culminating into a opportunity where, I'm starting to share some of my stories and my observations with people that struggle with the stuff that we've struggled together. And, so in terms of passion, absolutely. I mean, I feel emotionally fulfilled. Is maybe the word I would even describe.
There you go.
Is that it's not fleeting for me. This isn't like, woo, it's a, you know, mm-hmm. one second I'm in love with it, the next thing I'm not. Now, this is where
you're dreading it, wanting to quit.
I sense purpose. I sense, you know, that God is using me the way he's wanting to, that he's intending to. I feel like I'm finally listening to him. Mm-hmm. You know, we talked about in earlier segments about actually listening. Well, mm-hmm. you know, I feel like I'm starting to finally do that a little bit. And God is now putting me in situations that make more sense to me than perhaps before, mm-hmm. where I was trying to do it, you know, according to my own accord and my own mm-hmm. opinions.
Could you speak directly to the person that's listening to this that maybe feels as though they lost their life, so to speak, and now have this diagnosis? They've lost... They feel like the best is behind them. Can you just speak to that person on the hope that they can have, that there is a sweet spot, there is a place where God brings all this together and gives purpose again and passion and a reason for living?
Yeah, I mean, I can very much empathize that I had lost all of that. I'd completely resigned myself to just a mistake. Just a flat-out mistake that was a mess that I had no earthly understanding why God even had me here.
Mm.
And what's amazing is that the miracle is that God can restore anyone if you invite them into your heart and you will allow him to assist you with the healing yeah. process. And I think that for me, that the second I started to do that, I started to heal over time. And frankly, I would have healed sooner if I would have submitted more to him and tried to not be so stubborn. I tried to do a lot of this on my own, you know, sure. my own will. I was forcing it, you know, sure. and we all do that, you know, as human beings. We think we're in control and we can do everything ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, my resurrection from this mess that I was, where I just couldn't even comprehend myself where I'm at now. It has everything to do with, you know, God doesn't, it's not about prevention, it's redemption. God is always there to help pull you when you've fallen down. It's like no matter how much you skid your knee, no matter how many times you break your leg, no matter how many times you're completely busted in half, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
He's always there to redeem you and bring you back. And the more I believed that and the more I really, really internalized that, that is honestly when I started to see some things really happen in my life where I was trusting God and I was trusting his plan. And he was, again, he started to help me realize that he could take all this garbage, this mess, this issue, mm-hmm. and he's channeling it into something positive now.
Well, he's turning it into gold for the kingdom.
Exactly. I mean, I'm now getting this opportunity to reach people that I never thought I would ever reach. That I never thought I could reach or I had the ability.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And God's like, no, you do. Just mm-hmm, trust me, mm-hmm. okay? I'm using you for reasons. So just don't doubt me. Mm-hmm, you've done that mm-hmm, enough. Don't mm-hmm. don't doubt me this time.
Mm-hmm.
So my role this time has been like, okay, so if you want me to do another video, I'll do another video and I'll keep doing this. And so I think you know, just the paying attention to truth, having God be a part of my life, just not choosing not to believe the lies that were causing me to be in such a horrible place. You know, it is a choice. And I think there is a process of, you know, surrounding yourself with people that love you. You know, try to putting yourself in situations where there are positive influences. I think that's a thing that you can definitely benefit from. So your environment is going to be going to impact your ability to improve your hope tank.
Yes.
But I think that, you know, I'm just amazed at how my perspective and my outlook on life has changed the more I have trusted God to steer me where he wants to steer me.
Well, I can definitely say that I think maybe I've known you for a year, year and a half, or
a couple years,
something almost like that. Yeah, maybe even two. That, yes, you were doing well. I remember meeting you at Fresh Hope the first time, and you gave me your card.
Yes.
And I could tell that you were somebody that did not want to succumb to just yield to being mentally ill.
Yes, correct.
And you want it to live. But I can honestly say, since the first time of meeting you in your office, that you are changed. You've changed for the good. And your journey has accelerated in my thinking. You're at a point where you're not living with all these whoop-de-doo ups and downs and, you know, issues.
And I think that one of the big things that accelerated this for me, I think, and I appreciate those kind words, is that when I stop focusing on myself and focusing on others, it's amazing how that changes things. It's like, instead of me complaining about my stuff, I'm like, you know what? Why don't I try, like, reach out to people that are struggling? You know, I mean, there's hundreds of ways that you can, like, help, do something positive. Like that honestly is, for me, the greatest medicine I've ever experienced, because, you know, I've experienced a sense of community, but I've seen that, like, I'm not alone. I feel like that, you know, every time that I try to give a word of encouragement, you know, sometimes I get a message back. They're like, thank you so much. And you're like, all right, God, there's one more. We
well, and you become encouraged because you see them becoming encouraged.
Yeah,
you see God using something that you thought was so shameful or so discouraging at the time, and you see him using that story to encourage others. And you cannot, when you give hope away, you get more of it.
Absolutely. I mean, just to me, my kids were always a kind of a micro sort of, which is very important. Like, I always, when I focused on my family and my kids, that was always that was medicine for me when I was going through the progression. But it's just, you cannot underestimate, you can't, the impact you have on some people where you think it's insignificant. Like, I really, you know, my ministry is not about me and I'm just trying to help, but I've been starting to kind of get an idea that, whoa, this is impacting a few people and God's at work here. And, you know, it just shows that it's not like we got to do some crazy, massive, we don't have to generate an entire organization or raise a bunch of money. It's simple things you can do in your life, in your day-to-day stuff. Just like, just reaching out to people in your family, friends, coworkers, who you don't know,
in
whatever.
Person, online, over the phone, write a letter. You know, it's not about, oh, if you're feeling horrible today, go see your doctor. Okay, if you're feeling that horrible, do what you need to do, but then do something for someone else.
Absolutely. I mean, to me, like, the number one thing I tell the listeners is ask someone that is struggling if they're okay. Just ask them if we're okay. I tell my wife, I don't need anything, but if you see me having issues, just put your hand on my shoulder and say, are you okay, Jay? And, like, that by itself shows concern for another human being aside from ourselves. And that's not difficult.
No.
That's not tough. Any one of us can go find one person a day and do that with. To me, I mean, whatever, givers gain, play it forward, however you want to say it. But that's the part that advances the kingdom and does just as much as things that seem really profound and big. again, God works in small little ways. You know, it's like God taught me things about my daughter in an earlier podcast about just some silly dream. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a four-year-old. Who cares? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's mm-hmm. a four-year-old. Why? You know, that's what God loves to do.
Yeah.
You have to pay attention, you know, and these little things that mm-hmm. that we perceive in our lives, it's not important, are the things that I think really can help give yourself a sense of purpose and ultimately really raise your hope tanks significantly.
Well, I think with mental health issues, sometimes we think if I start thinking this or I do this, then all of a sudden it's all going to go away and everything's, but it's like healing is, after surgery, it's cell by cell restores, you know. It's kind of like thought after thought begins to restore. You persevere, you press through it, you choose constantly to believe that something is better, going to be better. You do something for other people. And bit by bit, moment by moment, it does get better.
It does. Yeah, I mean, we can't understate that, you know, quote-unquote reprogramming the way you think. Stuff that you can control, and obviously there's stuff that you can't control mm-hmm. with the way your brain works. But the stuff that you can, through
you got to choose to control.
You have to choose. You have to make a choice. You have to make mm-hmm. a choice about that, and it's tough. But to me, that there is hope. There's a path here, mm-hmm. and actually there's many paths in which you can find this destination. Mm-hmm. But inevitably, you know, I believe that all roads leads to having some relationship with Christ and having him mm-hmm. be there, you know, having your back as you work through these things and you have your triumphs mm-hmm. and then you have your falls where you skid your knee. Because yep. you know what? Look, I'm going to tell you, if you try to put all your hope in people here and giving you all that support, you're kidding yourself.
Or yourself.
No, you mean to me like... I mean, that was another wise thing my counselor said to me. She says, you need to be focusing on your self-worth comes from Christ, not from what anybody else thinks.
Or what you do.
Or what you do or whatever. So to me, like, if you can say that, then it's like, well, guess what? He's always got your back, mm-hmm. no matter what happens. And that by itself is planting the seed for hope and yeah. restoration.
We are called human beings, not human doings.
Yeah.
And if we will but find our being in him, you know, just resting in the fact that, and he's going to redeem all my pain. He's not going to waste my pain. He didn't promise life without pain or difficulties,
no.
but instead you will have them, but I will take them and make them work for your good. Gosh, what kind of hope? I mean, that's just amazing.
That's about as cut and dry as it gets. It unfortunately or fortunately, it's a choice,
mm-hmm.
and we have to make that choice.
And the enemy wants you to think that you can't make that choice, my friend. He wants you to think that, in fact, somehow you're the exception to all this. Your life isn't going to get better. You can't make these decisions. You'll never have passion back. The best is behind you. Those are all lies, I'm telling you. In spite of how you might feel, those are lies. Don't trust your feelings. Feelings can lie too. And feelings come from what we think. And so you have to back up and say, okay,
yep.
I need to align my thinking with Scripture. I need to align my thinking with what is true, not what I'm feeling. And then my feelings will begin to change. Not overnight, but they will begin to change. And suddenly you will see some purpose and some passion and or have some passion in regards to, and as Jason said just a few minutes ago, emotional payoff to this. What did you say? You felt emotionally content? No.
Well, I at peace, and just I felt emotional satisfaction in
yes.
knowing that there's
satisfaction.
You know, that mm-hmm. there's that, you know, having this, you know, this relationship beside you, I think it's ultimately the thing that is necessary and the thing that helps us, gives us kind of our moral compass. I know what I was going to say. I did a video here, and the video that I took here this morning, and I try to do with often, is in showing this progression of how you work through this stuff to kind of mm-hmm. find redemption and hope and things, is I do videos when I'm in a raw state. So mm-hmm. when I'm struggling, very close to or very right after that, I try to like immediately turn on the camera.
Mm-hmm.
And it does a couple things. Hopefully it shows that this is how I work through it.
Mm-hmm.
And because I'm doing that on the video, it's helping me work through it because it makes me objective about what I'm experiencing at mm-hmm. that moment.
Mm-hmm.
So mine was, I was having a really, really case of anxiety this morning. Stopped, did that, showed it. And I've gotten some good feedback from these videos because I, you know, it's mm-hmm. being real.
Sure.
But so like, it's been cool. It's a mutual benefit for me. That's become part of my coping mechanism mm-hmm. is that I'm interrupting that untruth by objectively talking about it on a video. And for these people, they're watching me see how I interrupt these issues.
Exactly.
So it's a win-win. So that is a, you know, again, whether you stop and you write your stuff down or like you said, because feelings are fleeting. They aren't mm-hmm. they aren't necessarily tangible.
Nor are they necessarily true.
Yeah, I should say tangible, but they're not necessarily tied to truth.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, there's different exercises, but I think that, you know, whatever you can do to stop, like just stop for a moment and like, you know, whether it's writing down, okay, what's caused this,
mm-hmm.
you know, or, you know, it could be like for people that have iPhones or Androids, like just take a audio note. It's like mm-hmm. you're talking to someone and then just dump yourself, dump what's on your mind, on yeah. your heart, what yeah. you're struggling with.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
there's lots of ways to do this. It's just, you have to somehow disrupt the cycle that you're in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And whatever you can do that is obviously the place where you can continue to, you know, raise that hope tank.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I would say an important word to recovery is disrupt.
Disruption.
Yeah. Well, my friend, no matter what you're believing today, if you're especially feeling discouraged or feel numb or feel like you've lost your life and your zest, your zeal, your desire to live, your passion for life or your passion for doing anything is gone, we're poster boys for this.
Indeed we are.
That God can redeem your pain. He is in the process of restoring you. And the enemy wants you to think it's going to take too long or it's never going to happen, and that's just not true. Hold on, my friend. Hold on to the truth. Jason, I want to really thank you for joining us for the editions of Fresh Hope for Mental Health. I so appreciate your time with us, and I'm certain we'll have you back again. Well, my friend, we want to thank you for listening to this edition of Fresh Hope for Mental Health. We hope it's been helpful to you. We'd really like to hear from you. If you'd email us your comments, questions, or insights, and you could do that by emailing us at podcast@freshhopeformentalhealth.com. And we'll answer your questions on the program, and we'll share your comments and insights with our listeners. You can also leave us a voicemail on the website at freshhopeformentalhealth.com. If you'd like to connect with us on Facebook or Twitter, you can find all that information on the website as well. And we have a YouTube channel, and you can find those things there on the website as well. Would you mind doing me a favor? If you're receiving our podcast through iTunes, would you mind writing an honest review of the program? We'd really appreciate that. And your review will help our ranking on iTunes and make the program easier for others to find us. Fresh Hope is a ministry of a network of Christian support groups for people who have mental health diagnoses and their loved ones. So we have a book and we have another one coming out. We have groups throughout the nation, and soon we'll be having an actual group that meets online. Jason will be heading that up for us. You can find a lot of information about Fresh Hope at www.freshhope.us. Please be sure to tell your friends about this program. We'd love to have them join us also. So until next time, may the Lord fill you with His hope, fresh and new daily. I'm Brad Haves, your host, and this has been another edition of Fresh Hope for Mental Health. You've been listening to Fresh Hope for Mental Health. For more information, go to www.freshhope.us.